God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We are continuing our sermon series through the concept of prayer. Today we'll take a look at the idea that when families provide support for each other and how that is included in prayer. But before we sort of get into that, let's sort of take a look at the opposite of that. When families don't support one another. And there's a common phrase that we sometimes hear in today's world. Why do we hurt the ones that we are the closest to or the ones that we really love? It sounds kind of strange, but it's very true. Hurting the ones we love can actually stem from a variety of different sources. And usually it's because, you know, we feel comfortable with that person. And because of that level of comfortability and that closeness, we let down our guard and up comes our anger, up comes our wrath, up comes words we'd rather not say, at least in the company of strangers, but we will say to those that we love and that we feel very comfortable with. Strangely enough, this actually could, in one essence, be a positive sign because at least we are comfortable with that person and that relationship. So how do you handle those close relationships, especially when someone is hurting you? Do you pray for them? Well, I will admit, that may also enter our mind. And sometimes it's a little easier to say that than it is to do it. Because when we've been hurt personally, we don't necessarily, our first response isn't to pray for someone. Our first response is usually to defend ourselves. But picking up God's word from Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus says, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Again, this might be easier to pray for enemies who are distant versus those enemies who are really close to you. Let me give you an illustration. Someone recently encouraged me and said, you know, can you pray for someone who's an enemy like bin Laden? Well, my response would say, hey, that's not too bad. That's pretty easy. Bin Laden hasn't done anything directly to hurt me. Sure, let's pray for him. Sure, let's ask God's grace to come upon him. Sure, I'd love to see him in heaven above. Talk about the power of God's grace in action. Now, let's change the distance. What about praying for someone who has hurt me directly? Someone who is close to me? Now, that may be a different story. So who are the ones who are close to me that we may find a little difficulty praying for and encouraging? Those people who are close to us, spouse, children, parents, family, friends, co-workers, people in the community, and even people here at church. So when we take a look at the title of today's message, when family provides support, we're going to use family in a little bit of a loose sense, not necessarily those are quote-unquote relatives who are living with us, but those people who are close to us, not just within our family, but also at work, because we spend a lot of time at work. We have a lot of relationships at work, and we can be hurt by them, by the community, and even here at church. So what happens when someone in those family circles hurts you by what they say or by what they do? Can you go immediately to God in prayer and saying, okay, Lord, help them out? Now, that may actually be one of our responses. We might say, sure, I can pray for them. Lord, help them to change. Except for, this isn't exactly what this message is trying to get across. Because what does it mean to provide support? Can you provide support for your family, even those who have hurt you? If you're only asking the Lord to change them, you may not be on the right path. Let me illustrate this example by taking a look at God's relationship with us. First of all, we have to note that God created each and every one of us. And let's go back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. When God created them, he had a very special relationship, a very close relationship with them. And what did they do with that relationship? They destroyed that relationship because of the rebellion, because of their self-centeredness, because of sin. So what did God do with that broken relationship? He promised a Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A Savior who was willing to die on the cross to restore that broken relationship, to forgive sin, to appease God the Father's wrath. Now, please note that God didn't say to Adam and Eve, nor to us, that in order for you to be restored, you must change. Instead, the promise of a Savior was given, even in the midst of our rebellion, no conditions. Talk about true love. God also accepts us without conditions of change. We are adopted into his family through the waters of holy baptism without any reservations. God didn't allow his love for us to depend on what we could do for God. But God loves and supports us, even when we could not do what was expected of us. Now let's superimpose that relationship that God has for us that brings us into his family with our family circles. How many times in our lives do we only value people and their relationships because what they do for us? And when they don't do what we want, do we devalue the relationship? Or are we still willing to show support? Are we still willing to encourage them directly through prayer? When was the last time you prayed for coworkers, families, spouse, children, relatives, people in the church, people in the community, asking God to help us to be supportive of them? Asking God to help us to show his love and forgiveness for them. Please note that I'm not asking you to have your prayers only to be focused upon how they can change. I mean, just picture this prayer. God, would you please change so-and-so? They're really driving me nuts. Help them to see the error of their ways and have them do what I want them to do. I hope and pray that your prayers don't reflect that theme. So we have to ask ourselves, what is the support that we should be praying for? And what does it look like? First of all, let me first talk about what it isn't. How many times, for those of you who are parents, have you ever felt that you weren't the best parent? Have you ever felt that you weren't a good parent because you couldn't provide all the wonderful luxuries that everyone else seems to provide for their kids? And I have to ask you, if you've ever felt this way, is providing luxuries the whole purpose of being a parent? And the answer is no. The Bible notes very clearly in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6, when Paul says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So here we have a model of what support is to look like. Good parents give their children the emotional and spiritual gifts that the stores cannot sell. So what makes a good parent? Is it by having lots of Christmas presents underneath the Christmas tree? A lot of toys? The answer is no. What makes a good parent is someone who shows that love, that support, that instruction from the Lord, that reflects the same forgiveness of sins that they have received from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To sort of beg the question here, when we think about coming before God, do we think of God as that heavenly Santa Claus, where his only source of his only job, so to speak, is to bestow good gifts? Now, to be fair, in the Lord's Prayer, we do talk about, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread." And yes, the Lord does provide many gifts for us. But let's not lose sight of the greatest gift. The greatest gift is not how much bread is on our table. The greatest gift is that relationship we have, being part of His family, which takes place only through the suffering and death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That those who believe in that greatest gift, His death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sin, shall not die but have eternal life. Likewise, for our relationships within our family circles, is it based upon performance of physical things? Or is it based upon emotional support, love, and forgiveness that comes through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Now we're getting a little better picture of that most important gift of Jesus' death and resurrection. It's not so that we can get more toys under the Christmas tree, but how we can show that support, that love, that forgiveness of sins to one another through the sharing of the promises of eternal life. This happens because God first loves us so that we in turn can love one another. And that is the most important gift. That is what makes true relationships. The bestowing of the forgiveness of sins and sharing of that love. If you want to ask what makes a family a loving, caring family, it's not by giving away of more toys. It's by sharing love and forgiveness. The harmony that comes from one another in these family circles, again, is not bought at the stores, but is received by God's grace and then shared with those around. It depends and is enhanced only through God's gift of love and the forgiveness of sins. We have to remember, as we come and we gather this day, that God comes to us. And He comes to us for a particular purpose. Not only are we supposed to give that support, we're also supposed to receive that support. So God comes to us through His word of forgiveness, which is proclaimed on a weekly basis here at Trinity, demonstrated in our liturgy. Please note, at least I hope and pray, you didn't come to Trinity today just to receive a quote-unquote a special gift of, say, a pen or a magnet or a mug. If so, you're going to be a little disappointed because we have something much better. Today, when you've come to Trinity, you come to receive the support, the love, and the forgiveness that comes from God. You can go to a store and buy any type of token, but you can't buy the forgiveness of sin and love. So when it comes to prayer, how do we focus our prayers, especially for those in our family circles? Is it just based upon physical things, or is it also based upon emotional and spiritual things? Support and harmony only comes through the forgiveness of sins. Likewise, when we come to the Lord's table today, we receive the very true body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The communion system and I are not going to hand out pens that have Trinity's name on it, but something more important. With that bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ, for that support, for that love, for that forgiveness of sins. Because this is the place where true peace, harmony, and love can be found. Because it first begins with Christ. So we receive this special gift, and not just for ourselves, but we do remember we do receive it also for us. We need to be strengthened by it so we can do what with it? Share it with those in our family, at home, at work, in the community. Please notice that one of the options for the post-communion prayer is, we give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy that you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Talk about a prayer of love and support, not just for ourselves, but also to others around us. The unity that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is enjoyed because of the forgiveness of sins. We receive it by God's grace, and we share it with those around us. And this is one of the important reasons why we even have an early childhood care center across the street. This is our opportunity to take these little ones and to show them and to teach them God's love and forgiveness. They may come from families that don't naturally do this. So it is part of our family responsibility to share that love and that forgiveness, to tell them about the love of Christ. And yes, it does cost us some time, some resources, but it is part of that family responsibility, that responsibility that God gives to us to share and disseminate His love and His forgiveness for the whole world, for our little family circles, for those around us. Just as God has so frequently shown His love to us, even in the midst of our own failure and rebellion, God is now asking us to be strengthened by His love and to share His love with those around us. This is what true support is all about. It is about when a family comes together and prays for support, that love, that forgiveness, that concern for one another, that support that continues to come from Christ through us to those around us. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.